Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the words that we've heard in the past couple days. Thank you for the excitement, the joy that you put in our hearts. Help us to hear joy and gladness today, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for people coming. Thank you for missionaries and people with a heart for the gospel, heart for the word, the world. And we just ask that today you would lead us in something extraordinary as we hear the word preached, as we go out and witness to people, that you would show us something special, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Moving on. But this morning we're going to have four different preachers. So our first up, we have a guy that I've known for a while and a great friend, and that's Oliver Rowan.
Good morning to GGCF. Thank you for having us here, hosting this weekend. Pastor Bailey, thank you. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, just this one verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think the first couple of songs that we sang this morning, really, it was the message that proves the point of what the Bible is saying, that especially with God being a way maker, a miracle worker, and he supplies everything for us that's in our lives. I've never been actually on the mission field myself as a long-term missionary. I've only made trips back and forth. But I've heard many stories from missionaries who always tell the stories about when they may have been lacking something or waiting on some finances to come from home base. And it always seemed as though God always did it right on time. And I've always thought that, yes, God may actually do it right on time as we see time, but God was actually already in it before we knew that we had the need. And this particular verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've heard this verse misquoted many times, that people will say your needs, N-E-E-D-S. And yes, God supplies our needs. It's evident. We have clothes on. Most of us probably ate something this morning. We're breathing the same air, so on and so forth. Those are needs that we all need, and God provides them. But here, he's singular. He's saying, your need. And the greatest need for man is Christ himself. That's the greatest need. God is always creating some sort of circumstance, something that's in our lives where we can realize that I need Christ. You know, I've made the mistake plenty of times and probably still do, that when something's not, quote unquote, going right in my life, I can be so, so stupid and try to supply the need myself. And it never works out. But when I'm being stopped by God, when I'm being humbled by God, when we are being humbled by God, then we realize what our greatest need is. And aren't we all here right now because we have a need? Huh? Yeah, we are. Psalm 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then it says, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. You think about the lady at the well in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus is coming to her presence. Jesus has told her something very personal. And what does she do? She runs off to the town and she says, oh, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. What does she do? She tasted water that she could not draw from the well, and it was so good that she had to run back and taste it. Psalm 89 and 1 tells us that I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and I will make known, thy faithfulness to all generations. This is what we're going to do when we go to Clinton. If you haven't tasted God yet in this conference, and I think we've already started tasting him on Thursday night, but if you haven't tasted him, open up your mouths wide this morning, taste them, and then go out to Clinton and tell somebody what you had this morning. Tell them to come see a man who told us everything he ever did and tell him he's a faithful God. Amen?
Amen, huh? Taste and see that the Lord is good and come and see a man. I love that. He said we could tell people what we got this morning. Right? We got Portuguese bread and cheese, but more importantly, our need, right? We had needs. We needed coffee. We needed bread, cheese spread. But we had a need, and that need was Christ. And when we meet Christ, we can say, turn around to the next person and say, come and see, right? Come and see. Amen. Great word, Oliver. He's been all over the place, Oliver. He's been everywhere. Traveled. He has a review online, right? You know, Yelp, they review restaurants. Oliver reviews hospitals wherever he travels. And he's got an extensive review profile. No, I'm sorry. Next, we have Pastor George Harmon.
Good morning. I lived here 34 years ago in this town. And how do I know that? That's two cicada seasons of 17 years each. That's what passed in Baltimore when I was there. Would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, if you would? Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this word. I pray that it's in your heart, in your spirit. And I pray that it has deep meaning in people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In Exodus 19, I'm reading from verse 5, and it says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." You know something about these verses? They never happened. Never became fulfilled. Yes, there was a Levitical priesthood, but all the Israelites did not become priests. They did not become a priesthood. In fact, as a matter of fact, Israel and Judah took on the gods of other nations, idols, and they became demonic. And instead of becoming the light of the world, God had to send them into chastisement, Assyrian chastisement and Babylonian captivity in both cases. Today, we are Christians. We're a peculiar people, but we're also a royal priesthood. We take the place of Jesus Christ because he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And it says in 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9 that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you know what? Today, the same thing is happening. We're not acting as a priesthood. Many Christians are Sunday morning Christians. They go to church on Sunday. They may pray for themselves, but interceding for the nation, our country. When I came back to America, I knew something was strange. I mean, all of us know something is weird, but Christians know that God is speaking to us. God is trying to bring, get our attention. And I realized in that it wasn't happening. In the Old Testament, we have two kings that were amazing, prayer warriors. Asa and Jehoshaphat, his son. They weren't perfect people, but they honored God. When they learned, when the prophet told Asa what to do, he submitted to him. He did whatever he could to please God. He humbled himself. He turned the nation from its wicked way. He sought the Lord, and the Lord did what the Lord promised to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Forgave their sin and healed the nation. And his son Jehoshaphat came and was similar. There aren't too many kings in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that were spiritual and followed God. There were none in Israel, and there were a handful in Judah. But these two were get our attention. So today, we should as a church, the corporate body, I'm not just talking about our ministry, but the corporate body around the world should be seeking God to find out what God is trying to say. And we know from scripture that we're not right with God. We know that, we know from the past in our own experience that we're, God is not happy with the church. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that people will turn to God, develop a prayer life in their life, and come and have a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God, where God is personal to you, comes from obedience. If we obey Jesus Christ in John 15, we can become a friend of God because we do what he says. It starts with that. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ starts with obedience to the written word and then the rhema. Now, a lot of people today pray, but they don't experience God in any way. It's possibly because they don't obey him. But we pray that if you are a family, if you have a family or you have or you're by yourself, we pray that you have a prayer altar in your home and you're praying to God and you're developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's most important at this time. So Heavenly Father, bless these words to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's a great message. That's a serious message, isn't it? That's very good. He said, are we seeking God? We are Christians, right? We are Christians. We say, yes, we believe. Are we seeking God? He said, how much of Christianity is content to be Sunday morning Christianity, right? Which, please, come Sunday morning. But, right? No, but that's not the point. The point is, it doesn't end there. But it pours out into our week, and it pours out into our communication, our heart for people. Right? How can we be the voice of Christ if we don't know the voice of Christ? But we could find him in prayer and learn him. And that's a beautiful, thank you, Pastor. It's a powerful message. Thank you. Thank you. Now we have Pastor Lawson Doe. Isn't it great to have Pastor Lawson here from Ghana? What's the church name? House of Refuge, right? It's a beautiful place. We were there, and when we were in Ghana a couple years ago, we went to the House of Refuge and just saying, welcome, come here. Like the message last night from Pastor Eugene. If you don't have anything, yeah, we're talking to you. Come and be healed. So, Pastor Lawson, we're so thankful you're here. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion also in Jesus' name. Amen. Greetings from Ghana. Because I'm the only one who made it. That shows the faithfulness of God. Amen. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord, thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Know that he is God. He's not only a covenant keeper, but he himself is the covenant. God, our God, is a covenant. He's not the keeper of the covenant, but he is the covenant himself. So, thank God for his confidence in him. Faithful God. We have a faithful God. Please, I would like to define faithfulness of God, because without that, you can't understand him properly. God, what is faithful? Or faithfulness is one of attributes of God, which passes through all God's attributes. It is an attribute of God which passes through all the attributes of God. When you say you love you and it's not faithful, you say you love somebody and you are not faithful, you said, I have mercy for you. If God were to say he have mercy for us, but he's not faithful, what profit will we get? So, faithfulness of God is the one that passes through all his attributes. And faithfulness, that is, I define it as to be true to the original. To be true to the original. What God has said 1,000 years ago or millions of years ago, he keeps it. Number two, to build up or to support what you see. Many of us, I was watching wedding pictures today, and then I do. But 6 months, 1 year, 2 years later, then that I do becomes I don't. Where's the faithfulness? But God said that for 2,000 generations, I'm the same. I never change. That means God is the one who is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Whatever he said yesterday is binding him to forever. And then God is reliable. Our God is reliable. Two, to be permanent or to be steadfast. God is permanent and steadfast in his ways and his word. Whatever he said, that is what will come to pass. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19. 33:19, God said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. This is our God, whom we serve. He said, we'll show mercy, you'll be gracious, and he's gracious to us, and he's gracious to me. I would like to give you a story about the hen, the chicken. Chicken, there was a rainstorm, severe one, and then all chickens died, but remaining one, but lost its feathers. So another traveled from different far country, and then said, why is it that you lose your feathers? And then he said, no, you don't know. What has happened? If it will happen to you, you never ask me this question. You thank God for my life. I'm 77 this year. 77 this year. I've never been to hospital. I've never slept in any hospital bed. But this year, 14th January, I was operated in one of the hospitals. And the doctor asked me, are you afraid? I said, no. I believe in my God. I know my God, and I believe in him. So I'm not afraid. He said, so, but we doctors, we are afraid. So he was talking to me. They were three operating me. And then we were just conversing. I don't know that they are doing anything for me. After that, they said, I can't stand up. I can't wake up. But within 2 weeks, I came out of. Within 5 days, I came out. And then within 2 weeks, he said, you are healed completely. Wow. That's a miracle. Yes. And this COVID, this sickness, this disease, this, what do you call it? COVID outbreak. Thank God, has never hit any of my members, church members, our church members. Not even one in Ghana. All the churches that we have in Ghana, we don't have any COVID attacking anyone. It's God. It's his faithfulness. Yes. So I thank him for that also. So this year, what we passed through, not here alone, not there alone, but here also, and somewhere also. When I call Pastor Chibeli, I always ask him, what about India? Because Indians donated this short forest to us, Ghana, about 33,000 shots. And then after 2 weeks, we were hearing that it's not easy for them. They were dying like chicken. So that is the news that we have been hearing. So always, anytime I call, I ask, what about our church members? Have you heard of this person? Have you heard of this? Have you heard of that? It was God. So thank God for our lives. That's why Paul said one thing. Children of Israel, they sinned so many times against God. And then they broke the covenant that he has made with their forefathers. And then Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7, he said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. New covenant. And Jesus Christ came. And we are in that covenant. So let's read quickly We read Galatians. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You see, when Paul was called, he knew that it's not by himself. None of us deserve to live. But why are we living today? Do you know the reason? Why are you living today? Why that person died in this COVID or any sickness at all, and then you are living today? Do you know the reason? It's God. It's his faithfulness. Count you faithful to do something for him. To do something for him. So today we are going out to preach. You also can at least hand over one trust to somebody. You can invite somebody to come tonight and then also receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal savior, because he's dying. He's going to hell and we are going to heaven. Heaven, if God himself never wipe away our tears, it will be sweet, because maybe your uncle, your niece, your auntie, or your father is being thrown into the hell of fire and you are enjoying somewhere. You won't feel palatable. So I beg of you, at least this time, win a soul. Bring a soul. A soul. I'm not demanding two. That's one. Because God has found me He has found me faithful. And then he made me live today for him, so that I may win one soul, only one soul, to Jesus Christ. The whole Ghana, all the pastors who have been coming, why me alone here? It's his faithfulness. All their visas expire, but I renew mine 3 days, then we had lockdown last 2 years. We had lockdown 13th March, and I'm here. All the essays. So I beg of you, there is a reason why you are living today. There is a reason why we are eating today. We are breathing today. It could have been you. It could have been me. This morning, Pastor was asking about some pastors who died in Africa. We were making references. It could have been me. They are younger than me. See Joshua, Mike Tyson, Kabu Tyson. But I'm here today. So I beg of you. I beg every one of you. We are living because God has found us faithful in Jesus Christ, so that we will do something for him. If you don't do anything for him, I don't know. God bless you.
Two things, right? With us, he said, with us, I do becomes what? I don't. But with God, I do remains what? I do. Amen. And then the chickens. No, that's a good illustration. All the chickens died except for one chicken. He lost all his feathers. And then another chicken journeyed to his land and say, "What? Yeah, you look crazy without the feathers." And he said, "You have no idea what I just went through. Yeah, you can't even speak about it. Let me tell you, I don't have feathers, but I have hope." All right, we live in a world that people look at us and say, "What happened to your feathers?" We say, "Let me tell you, I have Jesus." I don't want to talk about what happened. You don't even want to know. But let me tell you about who I know. Right? He's faithful. He's Jesus. Right? There's chickens dying everywhere. Right? But we are living. Right? And we have a message. That's so good. Thank you, Pastor. Really, really. All right. Let's stand for a minute. Okay, we have Pastor Dennis Hewlett here, and he is a missionary in Albania. He has been a missionary many places, right? In Bulgaria. That's it. And Janie's been all over. Janie. Anyway, now they're here. And they're here. Hallelujah. So Pastor Dennis and Jenny, we recently started supporting them as a church. They are missionaries. We see their name up on the board sometimes that we're supporting them. People say, what do they look like? Well, here they are. And, so Pastor Dennis is going to come up and preach now.
Yeah, I don't know how to finish up with the chicken story. Yeah, I've got no chicken stories. So let's pray. I'll tell you a little bit about Albania, and then we'll get into the Word also. If you want to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, we'll start there. Father, thank you for the words. Thank you for the men that you've raised up and the women that you've raised up in this in greater grace through the years that have gone out into the fields in their neighborhoods here, also into the uttermost parts of the world. We pray that you would give them vision, fresh anointing, Father, and fresh understanding of your faithfulness, as we just heard. Thank you for these times we live in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I hope you're all well. Great to be here. My wife is actually a better missionary than I am. She was in France and then Hungary, and then I stole her from Budapest, and then back out onto the mission field to Bulgaria, and then with me to Albania. The Lord has directed our paths a little bit, so let me begin with that. Albania, does anyone not know where Albania is? Many people don't. Just last week, someone thought it was in somewhere in former Soviet Union. When I first heard about Albania, I thought it was in Northern Africa. So it is actually in a beautiful area in Southern Europe, just across the Adriatic from Italy, just due east from the heel of Italy. And it is in the peninsula called the Balkans. And really, that's our vision now and for as long as the Lord has us on the earth, it seems. The Balkan Peninsula is made up around 12 countries. Most of them are not in the European Union. Some of them were part of Yugoslavia. So if you're familiar with that former country, they consist of Montenegro, Macedonia, Albania, Greece actually is part of it. Also Kosovo, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Slovenia, Croatia, even Romania, but they don't like to admit it. I don't know why, but they are part of the Balkan Peninsula. And it's a very unreached portion of the world. In Albania, the amount of evangelical Christians is 0.5%. And it's only a country of less than 3 million people. So I did the math, and it comes out to around 14,000 people are actually born again in the entire country. And that's not even the worst. Montenegro, it's 0.1%. Turkey, it's 0.1%. Pray for the Robins over there. So there's so much opportunity to go out into the Balkans and preach the gospel and plant a church and get some souls, some Balkan souls saved. We have been doing, even with the COVID, we're able to travel pretty freely along the bottom of the Balkans because they don't have as many regulations. So we've already been into Macedonia, Serbia, Montenegro, and just in the time we've been back there. So we started out in the north in Shkodër. We're going to be going back down to Tirana. We're expecting a very eventful summer. We have a conference the first week of August in the southern city of Gjirokastër. Then after that, we're going to go to Slovenia. So if you've looked on ggwo.org, we're planning on going to Slovenia the second week of August, but we had to postpone that, I should say. We've postponed it once already, but now we're postponing it to next year because of the inability to get into that country. So we're going to do a Balkan blitz. So if anybody's available the second, third, fourth, most of the, and as long as we can stay out, we're going to go through Albania. We're going to start there. We're going to go into what is now called North Macedonia, up to a place called Skopje, which is the capital of Macedonia. Then up a little further into Pristina, which is the capital of Kosovo. Then over toward the sea to a place called Podgorica, which is the capital of Montenegro. So 1, 2, 3, 4 countries. We're planning on doing a blitz throughout all of those countries in vehicles, sleeping in hostels or whatever. I mean, some of you missionary folk, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been on a short-term trip, but we're doing it and we're going to go out. So if you're interested, please email me, let you know some of the details. I don't have any details, but probably the biggest detail I can tell you is just be in Tirana the Sunday, the second Sunday of August, and we'll go from there. I don't really know. The details will come as we go. So that's the way that's going to work. And just let's turn again to Isaiah chapter 43. And thank you, Pastor Bailey, for letting me share the vision a little bit. In verse 18 of Isaiah 43, it says, "Remember you not the former things, neither the things of old." It looks like it's a question. Don't you remember the former things or consider the things of old? But it's not. It's a statement. It's a period at the end of that sentence. It's not a question mark. And we've been taught for decades, don't remove the old landmarks, right? Proverbs 22:28. That's still the same. That landmark is still the same. That's still the landmark. We don't move. Everything's moving in the world. Everything is going all over the place. But we have the landmark, don't we? For years and years and years. I'm still listening to old ABD classes from the 1970s. And it sounds like the services I'm listening to, from Baltimore today. Those landmarks haven't moved. And this is where we are, and this is where we must stay. But in this passage, in Isaiah 43, it says that there is something new. It says in verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So there is a new thing, but there is still the old landmarks. And we need to do the new thing. That's beautiful message by Pastor Armand too, on obeying the word, because we look to the new, but we stay rooted and grounded in the old, of the foundation of the finished work message of grace that we've been taught, and the truth of every word of the Bible. The Bible hasn't changed. Thank God. God has not given us a new Bible. He gave us the same old Bible. We can go to, the store and buy a new Bible, but it's the same old Bible. It hasn't changed a word. And we go and do these new things, but we do these new things with this old book, this ancient words, as the song says. I guess Pastor Shabelli says the eternal words, right? Not the ancient words. It's that ancient isn't ancient enough. They're eternal words. They go back beyond creation. So in this verse, Isaiah chapter 43, "I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth." And, and unfortunately, when I came to the United States, I was hit with a lot of the negativity that's going on in the world. I don't want to talk about that. That's not why we're here today. We're here for missions. We're here for the fellowship in the word. But negativity can be such a cancer. It can eat away at you. And you can take the anger of this, but it can permeate other things. And even the anger in the church and the anger with the world and the anger with ourselves, and that anger can begin to make us angry people. And we have to break free from that. We got to break that cycle of negativity, and because it leads into critical spirit and suspicion. And then the love begins to wax cold. And we begin to really begin to operate in the flesh, not even realizing it, because it's been so deceptive in its way that it's gotten into our souls. We need to fight against that. We need to say, you know what? There's a new thing. It is not like it was, but there's a new thing. And I know with this new thing that God is doing, God has got a provision for it. God has got an answer. He's going to supply that need that we heard this morning. Not needs, but need, singular. That need is Christ. And I don't know what he's going to do, but it's a new thing. He says in 1 Samuel 3, he says, "I'm going to make your ears tingle when you see what I do." I want my ears tingle, not with an itching ear from a teacher that brings a soft doctrine. No, I want the hard stuff. I want to hear a pastor say that we need to obey the word. I want to hear that. I want to hear those old landmarks, those old those old certain sounds that we've remembered from our past and we hear in our present that our pastors are still preaching. The same doctrine, the same gospel, the same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same Jesus. A new thing with the same God. The new mercies, right? The new covenant, as we heard. The new man. That's us. But we don't have a new doctrine. Because we know there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the world and the system of it. But we have something new. In the book of Luke, interesting passage in this when you hear about the old wine in new bottles. I was never a wine drinker. Never liked wine. Oh, sorry. I just never liked the taste of it. I only had Boone's Farm, which is a good wine, from what I understand. Boone's Farm and Mad Dog 2020. So it's not as if I don't know wine. I know wine, but I just don't know why it doesn't taste good. Anyway, in Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 37. And no man puts new wine into an old bottle, lest the new wine will burst the bottles, and he spill the bottle, and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now we are new men and women. We are a new creation in 2 Corinthians 5. Old things are passed away. Now we look at that verse and we say, yeah, that's my old man. That's my sin nature. Well, that's my pre-Christ existence. But all things are passed away. There's something new. When we get out of bed and we say that the mercies are new every morning, we need to also say, God, what new thing are you going to do today in my life? And maybe it's not going to be like the way you did it before, right? God said to Moses, strike the rock and the water will come out. But the second time he went to it, he didn't say strike the rock again. He said, just speak to it. Same thing, even the same result, even though he didn't obey. Water from the rock, but different way of doing it. And that's going to happen. Not different doctrine. Same doctrine, same landmark, same Bible, but a new thing. But look what it says in verse 39. But no man also having drunk the old straightway desires the new, for he says the old is better. You know, we have to put away the old things when it comes to the way we look at life and the way we look at the world. God is doing a new thing. We should be excited about it. As we, you know, as the missionaries go back into their fields and they see a new generation raising up with a new ideology and a new mentality and a new worldview, we need to say we have the old message, that gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And God is going to do a new thing. And we need to be ready and excited and available to respond to God saying, this time, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This time, I'm going to do something that's going to make your ears tingle as God does things through your laid down life and your empty vessel. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. So we have the landmarks. And we have the same Bible, the same doctrine. And I believe God is going to do a new thing. And I think it's going to be wonderful for what's going to happen. So let's pray. And Father, we thank you that you are the same. Thank you. We're thankful that you called us into the ministry. Thankful that you've given us the gospel. Thank you for our salvation. Restore the joy of that salvation. Let us not be negative and infected by the negativity of the world, but let us say, no, this is just a new thing. This is something new you're doing for us, and you're leading us in it. Help us to always remember that you will supply our need, which is Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. New thing. Thank God. Thank God it's a new thing. Why? Because I do becomes I don't. And we could get frustrated with that. And Christ says, no, we do a new thing. And that is Him. Him supplying our needs. So, amen. Amen. All right, Lord Jesus, thank you for these words that we heard today. Help us to remember. Help us to live the things that were preached, Lord. The challenges that we heard, the exhortation, the encouragement, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.